I mentioned to the first service, if you use your phone, that's good, but don't get sidetracked and all the other stuff that goes with it. Amen? Keep on track here. Revelation chapter 20. It's not a popular topic. How many of us it needs to be preached? It's something that will happen. This day will come. And I'm so thankful that I'm a Christian. I'm so thankful that I'm saved. Amen? Amen. Revelation chapter 20. Tell me when you got it. All right, look at verse 11. It says this, "And I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, whose face the earth and heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them." Notice God sees gives a glimpse to John that there's a great white throne. Now, I mentioned to the first service that it's not going to be like this, a couple little steps and some old guy sitting there. It's going to be a huge throne. Notice it says, "I see a great white throne." That is this. It's greatness and whiteness. It indicates glory and holiness of the throne. Look at verse 11. "And I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it." How many knows the Lord Jesus will be there? The Messiah will be there. God himself. He is the only one that is fit to judge the world. Are you with me? For one to judge the world, you have to be perfect in all your ways. Otherwise, your faults are just like the faults of the people. How many understand that? Jesus is the only one who is perfect in all his ways. And he's the only one that's equipped to judge the world. The truth is that when this day happens, it's going to be an unbelievable day. To me, I look at it, I'm so glad that I'm a Christian. I said, I'm so glad I'm a Christian. Look at verse 11. "And I saw a great white throne and him who sat on, whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them." When God appears, the world disappears. All sinners will stand at this place. Now for the believer, we've been judged in Christ. Are you following me? This is not for the believer, the white throne judgment. This is for people who have rejected the Lord. Those right now that are in hell, one day will be brought forth and judged according to their works. Now, I mentioned to the first service this. Can you imagine giving account of every word you've ever spoken and every deed you've ever done? How many think that's a library plus? Yes or no? How many actions have we already done? I asked the first service this. How many have made the same mistake more than once? How many ever said to yourself, I'm not doing this again, and you found yourself doing it again? It's amazing how we can do things and we know better and we still do it. Am I the only one in here? Look at verse 12. It says this, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things that were written according to their works." Notice that he sees. He sees from every area. Death and hell are brought forth. Those that died and perished in the seas. Every place. The reference is this. He saw the dead. Now, just because it says dead here doesn't mean they cease to exist. That means they've died in this physical body. Are you with me? Some people have this idea that when you die, you're all done, you go to ashes, that's it. That's not true. You've been created in God's image. You've been created with an eternal purpose and also an eternal side of your life. That God wanted you to live forever with him. How many of those, that's a great thing. I wouldn't want to get to heaven and it was like a million years. And when the million years were over, you were done there. How many of that would really be a bummer? Everybody would be looking at the end date. Well, you know what? He's removed that area that we can be with him forever. And here's what I marvel at. On this planet, we've all been doing things our lifetime. True? God will have us doing something forever and not just busy work. So we will be serving him forever. Whatever capacity that is, we will serve him forever and not one day will be the same. Because every time you see the Lord, you're going to get a fresh revelation of how awesome He is. And it'll take us forever just to scratch the surface how awesome God is. Now, it blows me away that in a billion years, we're still going to be friends. Isn't that cool? This relationship that we start here in Christ won't end. A billion years, I'll come by and see Greg. I think it's so awesome. And he won't have any challenges in his body. I mean, does this tent sometimes get some holes in it? I'm reminded that sometimes in the morning we're like, oh, man, that hurts. Amen? When I look at Jesus, He has purchased heaven for us as a free gift through Christ. Now, somebody asked me this. Well, why is hell so awful? Because it was created for Satan and his horde. But man in disobedience has followed that way. So man was never designed for such a terrible place. And we have to realize that hell, when it's thrown in the lake of fire, is the wrath of God. When you're in Christ, the wrath has been removed. And I'm so thankful for that. How many in here paid for the oxygen today? How many here paid for the sunlight or the cool breeze? When somebody says, well, the Lord's never done anything for me, look what He's placed you in and allowed you to live there and hasn't charged you a cent for it. Sometimes I look at it and people just take so much advantage of God. One day, your oxygen will cease and sulfur will be what you breathe. When I look today, God's freely made it rain on the just and the unjust. Everything that is good has came from Him. But if you take the blood of Christ and trample it under your feet, there's no hope for that. There's no redemption. Come on. When it comes to the Lord, Revelation 11 verse 18 says this, and the nations were angry, and the wrath of God has come. For the time of the dead shall be judged, and He shall give a reward to His servants, the prophets, to the saints, to those who fear His name. I mean, that's an awesome thing. One day for the saints, there'll be a white throne. There won't be a white throne. There'll be a judgment of reward for the world, the white throne judgment. Now, here's a true fact. Nothing that defiles will enter into heaven. What that means is this. Everything that's defiled on this planet one day will be burned up and gone. You will not remember a secular song when you're looking at the throne. Now, I'm not saying every secular music is bad, but the last thing I want is some demonic song to be in my mind when I'm looking at Jesus. Are you with me? If it defiles, it will not be there. Are you with me? Now, what's heaven like? You're seeing a glimpse of it right now on planet Earth. Did He create this place? Yes or no? Then this is His taste and flavor, what we see. He loves mountains. He loves valleys. He loves flowers. This is a sample of really what's there. This is not our finished home. There will be flowers in heaven. And it'll be so nice that you could walk through a patch of them. They may lay down because you stepped on them, but they will spring right back up. Hallelujah. There's no death. There's no destruction there. Amen. What would this planet look like if there was no weeds on it? I mean, it'd be awesome. You ever notice you don't have to plant weeds and they grow everywhere? Yes or no? If you had a garden at all, you didn't have to. And every time you can look at Adam, thorns and thistles came because you sinned. God said, I strike the earth with that area. When I look at it, heaven will not have weeds. Won't happen. Anything that defiles, it'll be a place of perfect purity. Hallelujah. I'm looking forward. Amen. Not that I have a death sentence, but to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Are you with me so far? Israel was warned this. In Amos 4 verse 12, it said this, to you, O Israel, prepare to meet thy God. We also need to know that we need to prepare to meet Him. Would you agree? Look at verse 12, Revelation 20, verse 12. Then I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was opened, which was the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which are written according to their works. Now notice here in Scripture, there are two books that are listed. There's the books that were opened, it's plural in the Greek, and a singular book, the book of life. Now how many here have ever been to a wedding before? How many here have ever filled out the card or whatever? Are you coming? Or RSVP? Why do the bridegroom and the bride send that out? The parents maybe. Why? They know how many are coming, true? So they can prepare the amount of food in the table. Would you agree? Many times people don't pay attention to that, but it's important. If you sign up on that, they may have a registry. How many ever came to a wedding and found your name at the table or on a big table? You may not know the other people, but you found it there. Your name is written because you RSVP to honor the bride and groom. Agreed? It's no different in heaven. If you don't RSVP, say, Lord Jesus, I want you in my life, you have no part of the wedding. Here's what the Father did. He went to the Jewish nation, and they rejected him. And the Father came, and he looked over the guests and said, there's still room here. Those that were bidden to come, you're not coming now. You're banished. I'll go into the highways and byways and compel the rest to come in, that my house may be full. The Father's house will be full of people that honor the Lord Jesus. Those that were called says, I'm not coming. I just got married. I just bought a field. I just got this. Excuses today. And he came and he was wroth and said, where are the people? And he went after, and then I got saved. You got saved. God went into the highways and byways. Come on. Jesus is clear. He even made reference once to this here. He came to the wedding and found somebody who didn't have the wedding garment on. Bind him, cast him head and foot in the lake of fire. When you RSVP, what you mean is you've accepted the Lord into your life. Is everybody following along? Look at verse 12. It says, then another book was opened, which was the book of life. How many want their name in the registry? When you RSVP, what that means is when you ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, he writes your name in the book of life. Every name that will be in heaven will be recorded in one book. Now, I don't know how thick the book is. I don't know how many pages are on it. I have no clue. But it's a singular book, the book of life. And those at the white throne judgment, God will do this. He will open the book. He knows your name. And he will look and say, you're not here. Now, many times people think that just because you boo-hoo at the altar, you may say something about Jesus that you're saved. Being saved means you have a transformed life. Jesus is Lord of your life. You're no longer Lord. Are you with me? Too many times people are conditioned, well, I prayed once, but do you live for God or you still live for the devil? When God's Spirit is in your life, you know you belong to him. Amen? Look at verse 12. It says this, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. All right? If there's one singular book, look previous to the verse, and the books were opened. That's plural. How many words have you spoken in your life? Here's age, whatever. Kids can start talking like maybe 2, 3 years old. Simple words, true? Would you say by the age 5 you can hold a halfway decent conversation? Not everything, but you can talk. What do you want? Got to use the bathroom, true? Would you say by age 10 they're having good conversations? I'll just start at 10 then. From age 10 on, even though you can record it back sooner, here's 10, here's 11, here's 12, here's 13, here's 14, here's 20, here's 25, here's 40, here's 60, bless the Lord, here's 80. Say I got 70 years of recorded words. How many books would that be? What if every word, every idle word you gave an account of? And every deed you ever done was recorded. It's not that God can't remember it. I really believe it's for the individual who's being judged. Because here's the evidence against you. And I sent a servant by your way. Here's what you said. What you said. Not what he said, what you said. My servant came to you here. Somebody invited you here. Listen to me. It's an accountability I'll get into that's unbelievable. Would you say to yourself that would cause you to be guilty? Well, at this moment, you can lie all you want to God, but it's written. And you won't be able to deny you didn't say that. That's just what you... Do you know every murder one day, every mystery will be solved? Everything. What's been hidden will be brought forth. Now, I don't know how many libraries I spoke before I got saved, but when you become a Christian, he blots out the handwriting of ordinance against you. That he gives you a clean slate. That is an awesome thing, to know that you're forgiven, because I've been forgiven of much. I don't know about you, but I've been forgiven of much. Now, let's make it a courtroom situation. How many have ever been to court before? All right. I don't know want to know why. But how many knows there's usually a judge up there? Sometimes they're called a referee ahead of time. But there's usually somebody on the bench, true? You have an opportunity to plead your case, whether through your attorney or yourself. Would you agree? All right? What do you have to do when you get there? Show your evidence. Would you agree? I did not do that. I didn't do that. Then somebody will bring up their portion. Amen? What if God allows you to defend yourself? Okay. Why are you worthy of heaven? And all of a sudden, your library comes forth with everything ever written. How many knows it will judge you guilty? Even things you might have forgot is there. When I look at this book, I found it in 5 different places. In Daniel 7 verse 10, it talks about the books will be opened. Daniel talked about it. These books are journals concerning the works of all. These books contain the heavenly result of the history of the world. Are you with me? When I look at this book of life, it's one book. It's the register of heaven. It's the harvest of God. The names in the books are blessed. It's the book of life, not the book of death. It's the book of life. When I search the scriptures, Daniel chapter 12 verse 1, he talked about Michael standing up the great prince. But he said in the end of the verse, if you look here, he says this, he will deliver everyone whose name is not written in the book. I found this in Exodus 32, verse 33. Moses wrote about the book of life. He said this, and the Lord said unto Moses, whoever has sinned against me, him I'll blot out of my book. How did they know this stuff in the Old Testament? It's not a mystery. Well, let me break it down farther. David knew about this. In Psalm 69, verse 28, let them be blotted out of your book of the living. How many think all through Scripture God gave this? And here, Jesus shows up in Luke 10, verse 20. It says this, notwithstanding, rejoice not that spirits are subject unto you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Even John the Revelator said in John Revelation 3, verse 5, he that overcomes, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I'll not blot his name out of the book of life, but confess his name before my Father and his angels. I mean, it's all through Scripture. Hear this. Daniel talked about it. Moses talked about it. David talked about it. John talked about it. Jesus talked about it. It's all through Scripture, Old Testament as well as New, that there is a book. Jesus made it clear. Listen to me. Your name needs to be in the Lamb's Book of Life, Revelation 21, verse 7. Come on. How many want your name in the book? That means from this, from the law to the prophets to the psalm, it's all been written. We're without excuse. And then Jesus shows up and says, hey, Don't rejoice that spirits are subject unto you, but rejoice that your name is written in the book. Hallelujah. You need to make sure you're on the registry. Somebody say amen. Because on that day, people are going to be like this. Is my name in there? Is my name in there? No, you rejected me. And I don't want to make it seem like the RSVP is so simple. But it's, you rejected Christ. He invited you and you said no. Can you imagine? Every single person will have to face the Holy Spirit invited them to come and they said no. Do you believe the Holy Spirit is worldwide? Yes or no? You could be in the middle of nowhere and the Holy Spirit could still show up there. Scripture is clear. Well, Pastor, what about some guy on an island that's never heard? The Bible says all creation shows His glory. Man's without excuse. And any heart that turns to Him, He will reveal Himself to that individual. Now, picture this. The Holy Spirit will be in these chapters of people's lives. He may send you. He may use your name. And Dawn came by and invited me to service and I was too busy. Here's what I said. Here's what you said. You have to step over Jesus Himself to end up in hell, which is going to be unbelievable. Because people will realize and you'll have an eternity to think back on all the opportunities you had. And yet I said no and I didn't care. And if you forgot what you said, here's what you said. You'll be held so guilty. Picture a judge sitting on the bench, and he goes, every chapter of your life. You'll be guilty, won't you? There'll be no unbelievers in hell. And nobody will blame God for being there but themselves. Somebody say, amen. I'm so glad my sins are covered. I thank God every time. When I go through a message like, Lord, I thank you, I'm saved. Lord, forgive me of all my sins. I know I'm saved, but I'll pray again. Hallelujah. Is this good so far? Notice things are written according to their works. It's one thing to say it. It's another thing to walk it out. When we say we're a Christian, our works should show that example. You're not saved by works, but once you're saved, you should demonstrate your faith by what you do. Would you agree? To me, Jesus is the best kept secret. You want to have more answered prayer? Pray, Lord, open up a door for me to share my faith. I guarantee you, the Holy Spirit will work overtime to make that happen. And since answered prayer brings joy, you'll have more joy by stepping out what God has to. And sometimes it's like this. You could be in a checkout line and you just feel impressed to share. That's not the devil. Step out in that. Well, I don't know what to say. Look at what they got. You got a beautiful kid there. Hey, you got some groceries? Take a look at what they're buying. But I always tell people, listen, the Holy Spirit, God has prompted me to share something with you. God, just speak it to you. And you know, they may reject you. They may say, get out of your face. But that your portion is not their response. It's just to be obedient. Because if He's prompting you to share, I guarantee you, He's probably done it before. And you may be the fifth person that speaks in that situation. Sometimes we're hard-headed. Maybe they're backslidden. And when you're backslidden, the last thing you want to do is hear anything about God. Amen? Are you enjoying this message? Look at verse 13. And the sea gave up the dead that were in them. And death and hell delivered up the dead that were in them. And everyone was judged according to their works. When I look at this portion, the sea gave up the dead. A better rendering is this. Every personality of all sorts will be brought forth. In Revelation 20, verse 12, the dead, small and great, Hitler, Haman, as well as some lady you never knew in your whole life will be brought forth. And God's going to judge, I'll get to this in a minute, according to privilege. God will judge according to privilege. America will be unbelievably held accountable. We got a church on every corner. Now, I'm not saying everyone's preaching the gospel, but you have a great opportunity to hear about Jesus in this country. Say amen. I've been overseas. When you're born, they ask you, what's your religious whatever? And you fill out on a card. And that's what you're called. If you say you're a Protestant, they write that down. You say you're this, they write it down. Even if you're not that, less than 3% of Europe attends church. Yet thousands claim to know Jesus as Lord. The last time I was overseas, most churches are now bars or a place just to party or been torn down. They're no longer strengthened churches anymore. It's just the truth. It's a very small amount of people serve the Lord. Yeah, they say there is. They filled the card up. That's what I am. But I never know you can serve the Lord. Come on. When God judges people, He judges them according to their works. He doesn't make it up. God will never bring a false accusation against anyone. He'll only speak the truth in love. Amen? Here's what it says. In Matthew 12, verse 36, "But I say unto you that every idle word that man shall speak, he shall give an account on the day of judgment." Come on. In Isaiah 26, verse 21, "Behold, the Lord comes to the place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquities." It's coming. When I look at America, God will judge accordingly. And here's how Jesus did it. In Matthew 11, verse 22, He said, "It's going to be more tolerable for Tyre and Zidon in the day of judgment than for you." He's speaking to the Pharisees. He's speaking to this. He said, if the miracles that were done in those two cities, they would have repented long ago. But you see me. Can you imagine Pilate seeing the Lord? He'll be held accountable for that. The people who brought Jesus up to him will be held accountable for that. Everyone who rejected, according to privilege, you'll be judged too. Hell will be hell no matter what. But according to privilege, Jesus made it clear. In Mark 6, verse 11, it talks about this. "It'll be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for you." They were burnt. But yet, Jesus said, "I'm here. And you did whatever you wanted." Remember the parable where they sent the servants and each one they beat, and they beat the prophets. And then the son said, "I'm going to send my own son." And when he went, they stripped him down and they killed him. That was a parable about the Lord. That the world will be held accountable. Jesus spilled his real blood on this planet. No one escapes. Back then, they had a physical Jesus to look at. Now we walk by faith. And if you look at it, man, I'm thankful that 12 dudes got their life right. When Scripture says many of his disciples ceased to follow him because he said hard things, Jesus could be like this. Well, where are you going to go? You can leave, but who are you going to go to? You'll die in your sins. Even when he's going to the cross, he told the ladies, "Don't weep for me. Weep for your children and your children's children, because generations will end up in hell because you rejected the Messiah." He wept over cities. Woe unto you! Woe unto you! How much more now? America needs to repent. We've had an opportunity with the truth. What do we do with it? Come on. We need to get back to that place. We need to pray. "Men love darkness rather than light." John 3, verse 19. Amen. Judgment according to works. I look at this sometimes. In Psalm 62, verse 12, it says this, "To the Lord belongs mercy." Would you agree? "For he will render to every man according to his works." Now that's good on the side if you know the Lord. You want to be rewarded for living for the King, true? His mercy is still there. He'll give every man. So even judgment has mercy in it. But now you're going to experience separation. If all of us got what we deserve instantly, none of us would be in this room. Would you agree? So we're allowed to live in this planet, even if we hate God. Your days may be shorter, but you've been allowed to have oxygen, a cool breeze on your face. You can swim in a lake or an ocean. It's your free will. You've been allowed to exist on His planet. take advantage of everything that's been good and not even care about him. Come on. In Jeremiah 17, verse 10, I, the Lord, search the hearts and try the reins, and give every man according to his ways the fruit of his doing. Well, Pastor, what about somebody who lives in a third world country in the middle of nowhere? The gospel is still there. I have a buddy that preaches, and his church is made up of the Maasai tribe in Africa. And he says our services on Sunday are 8 hours long. 8 hours. He says the folks that come to my church have no cars. They get up before the sun comes up, and they walk 5-6 hours to church. So when they get there, it's not going to be a 10-minute service. So what they do is they have a full-blown worship service, then they eat lunch together, enjoy the day, and then when service is over, they spend 5 or 6 hours walking back home. They do it every single week. He says, you churches in America, you get a hangnail and you don't show up. Somebody say amen. We get soft here sometimes with all the luxuries we have. When they walk to church, and when they get there, he says, we have church. Would you agree? These are remotest place you could imagine. The gospel is still being preached, and people are still hearing. The gospel will go around the whole earth. That is so awesome. Everyone will have an opportunity to hear. You saw it in the Old Testament. Israel was a type of the church. They were a witness to every known nation at the time. Today we have the church age. It's a witness to the world. And you know, I've learned this over the years. No one ever stays neutral. You're going to serve somebody. That's just not a Bob Dylan song either. You're going to serve somebody. And no one stays neutral. You ever notice that when they don't have the Lord, they'll pick up this or this or this or this, make this their God, or make themselves God. No one stays neutral. That place in each man or woman needs to be filled with him. But judgment will be universal. He will judge America. He will judge China. He will judge Russia. Each one will be brought forth to him. Can you handle a little more? In Matthew 25, verse 32, this judgment is universal. It says this, and before him he shall gather all nations and separate one from another as a shepherd divides the sheep from the goats. We won't stand where they stand. God will divide that area. As the shepherd, the sheep know his voice. Would you agree? You can't fake that. You know the shepherd because you've been around the shepherd. But he'll divide. He'll take that staff and separate the goats and the sheep. Those that acted like a sheep or were a goat, he will separate. There's no getting around it. There's no escaping it. It's one of three times in my whole Christian life where I preached a message and 100% of the people responded to the Lord. I have a message on the sheep and the goats. You don't want to be a goat. Goats eat anything, do everything. Sheep hear his voice and follow him. Come on. In Romans 14, verse 12, everyone shall give an account to God to himself. Acts 17, verse 31, he's appointed a day which he'll judge the world in righteousness by the man he's ordained. That's Christ Jesus. When it comes to accountability, God will hold it. You read in Matthew 12, verse 36, every idle word that men speak, they'll give an account on the day of judgment. Romans 14, verse 12, every one of us shall give an account to himself to God. 1 Peter 4, 5, he shall give an account to him who's ready to judge the quick and the dead. It's all there. Now, hell will have some severity too. Hell will be hell. Don't get me wrong. Hell will be hell. But some folks will receive greater damnation. In Luke 12, verse 48, but he knew not and did not commit. He who didn't know will be committed to few stripes, but he who has been given much will be required much. For somebody that didn't know, I've seen children that way. Their parents didn't live for God. They just didn't know things. Hell will still be your portion. But Hitler will be held accountable for the 6+ million Jews he killed. That'll be in his future. Haman will be in the future. Marx will be in the future. Are you with me? Those who've done detestable things against mankind, they will not get away with it. Osama bin Laden will give an account for all those people who died in those towers. They're worthy of many stripes. Are you following me? Hell is hell. But for some, the judgment will be there, and they will be held accountable for that. How about ministers? Can you imagine one day, you said you knew me, but you never knew me. But Lord, didn't I prophesy in your name? Didn't I hand out a bulletin? Didn't I do all this, depart from me, I never knew you. And all the people you led astray, you're accountable for them. Come on. I wonder how many books will be, well, my pastor said this. Well, that's true. You should have looked in the Word yourself. You can't escape from that, but I'll deal with that person too. Can you imagine giving an account of your life for the people that have been slaughtered when it's recorded? How many of this is going to judge you guilty? When I look at the white throne, it's going to be the last judgment. There won't be like this every year. It's not going to be like, well, this year, God's going to bring some more up. He's going to deal with it once and for all. Now, I don't know, as your pastor, to be honest with you, I don't know if it's going to be a moment for everyone at once, because God could do that, true, or if it'll be one person at a time. Either way, you're in eternity. It doesn't really matter how long it's going to take. To me, I kind of look at it as each person will plead their case, and then boom, either you're with him or you're gone. And if you're at the white throne, you're going to be gone. The opportunity for looking up your name will be there. An opportunity to plead your case, absolutely. Here's what you said, depart from me. But either way, what a terrible thing. And believe me on this, it's the saddest day in God's life will be that moment. When he tells his creation, depart from me, I never knew you. That isn't something that he takes great joy in. When he's done everything possible to keep you from going that place. Are you hearing me? Even that tears one day will be done away with. Hallelujah. That's why if you're a Christian, it brings God great joy. And Jesus himself, knowing that he paid such an unbelievable price to keep you out of there. Man, he loves it when somebody accepts what he's done. Now let's go back to court. What if Greg is charged guilty? They brought the libraries forth and he's guilty. Guilty big time. And now it comes sentence time. And you know you should be going to hell. And then Jesus steps forth and say, wait a minute. Your Honor, I'll take his punishment on me. Let him go free. That's what it's like to be saved. Jesus took your sins. He took your wrath. He took your punishment. And now you can walk away Greg free, or you can become a bondservant. I'll serve you all the days of my life, Lord. I choose to serve the Lord. Upon Jesus was placed the wrath of God, so I don't have to have it. Hallelujah. And the Father looked at the innocent one, said, you'll pay the price? Absolutely. You're the only one qualified to do it. It's upon you. People in hell will realize they could have had another way. They'll see him as he is and realize he was their payment. Yet you rejected the payment. You said, I don't care about it. I'll take the price. Now, I shared this with the first service. God forbid. Say there was a fire in here. There's exit there. There's an exit there. And there's an exit there. How many knows that we should get out? What if you say, Pastor, I don't like those exits. I don't like that way. That's what happens when people reject the only. Jesus says, I'm the way. That is the way. If you don't like it, you'll burn in the midst of it. And it'll be your fault. Are you hearing me? Sometimes when I look at it, I don't make apologies for Jesus. When they say, there's got to be more ways to God. I just stand up and say, nope, there isn't. He's the way, the truth, and the life. Period. There's no debate about it. There's no saying, yeah, well, maybe. No, there isn't. He's the only way. This judgment will be final. In Hebrews 9, verse 27, it's appointed on a man once to die, then the judgment. And I'll close with this scripture. In 2 Peter 2, verse 9, the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation and reserve the unjust for the day of punishment. You know what that means? Those politicians right now that I don't give a rip, God knows how to reserve your day of judgment. For the godly, I'll deliver you out of temptation. People think they're going to skate by. Not happening. Ginsburg died. Used to be on the Supreme Court. She now sees the reality of her life. I didn't want God in my life. Don't legislate that stuff. I don't know if she ever repented when she died. But I guarantee you, her view has changed. Come on. Some people think they get away with it. No, your day of judgment is reserved. It's reserved. It's just the mercy of God that's upon, right now, upon our lives. Lord, I'm going to serve you. Would you agree? Amen? I'm going to pick this up in verse 14 next week. But I want us to have a sobering reminder. Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you, Lord, that where would we be? Amen? Aren't you glad that you got a chance to live as long as you do right now? How many of us, all of us, could have lost our life as something young, that accident, that car that turned out of the way? You name it. Come on. Even as a kid, all the things that we did, all the stupid stuff. True? Come on, we did some crazy stuff. Back then, we didn't care about seatbelts and we drove fast. Come on, all of us have to admit, it's the grace of God that we sit here today. Then, Lord Jesus, I want to thank you for saving me. Thank you, your mercy has reached out. With that heart, share with others. Share with, when you look at people, be moved with compassion. Like, man, there's sheep without a shepherd sometimes. And sometimes they're just flat goats and don't care. But care. Don't give up on people. The only time that it's that is when they breathe their last here. Hallelujah. Till then, let's be about our Father's business. Let's warn those. Even if they get mad at us, you know what? I'd rather them be mad at me and go to heaven than kiss me and go to hell. Are you with me? I asked the first service this. How many would like to pray with me? Make sure everything is right with you and the Lord. Maybe you prayed 100 times. How many want to pray and mean that? Amen? I'm going to pray that with you as a church. Pray this with me. Lord Jesus. Everyone here, Lord Jesus. I'm sorry for all my sins. Forgive me. I believe. I said, I believe that Jesus died for me. And I believe that he arose from the dead. So now, Holy Spirit, come live in me and change me. Father, you said in your word, if I'd call on your name, I would be saved. So right now, forgive me, save me, and change me. Lord Jesus, today I boldly confess that you're Lord of my life. And I'm going to live for you all these days. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I shared this with the first service, and I'm going to challenge you with this. Sometime today, this week, tell somebody, you know what? Jesus is my Lord. And what happens is that it makes what you've done inside real out of your life. It's like you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. Something happens there. It energizes that area. It makes it more real. Would you do that? And you'll realize how much you have in you already. Believe me, you talk about the Lord, you have so much in you that'll start coming out. And sometimes you'll like, dude, I didn't even know that was in there. Because the Holy Spirit will bring back to remembrance what's been in your life. Amen? But I'm on the way to heaven. Hallelujah. I am so glad I'm saved. I can rejoice in that. Glory to God. How many are glad your libraries are covered up? They're under the blood, bless God. Every deed, every action. Hallelujah. I want you to walk out with that victory today. Man, I'm forgiven. God is good. Hallelujah. Father, a blessing on this congregation. Lord, go with each one in strength and power and bring us back in that appointed day. In Jesus' name, amen.